So we're going to jump into, we're on this series called Thus Saith the Lord. We spent a lot of time getting here. We talked about different ways God reveals himself. We talked about the Bible and the use of the Bible, what that's all about. We talked about hearing the voice of God, spent a lot of time talking about hearing the voice of God. But in the graphic here, it's the Thus Saith the Lord. I wanted to use Thus Saith dreams. I grew up with Thus Saith the Lord. I grew up in church where everybody who prophesied, they spoke first person, and they spoke first person King James. You know what I mean? It was lots of thus and thous and thy and henceforths and forevermores and all kinds of stuff. And so I thought you always had to prophesy in good old King James English. And so that's what they did. So I put thus saith the Lord. Seems like a powerful, powerful statement. Like what I'm saying right now, thus saith the Lord. But you know, the word of God says in Peter, it says, when you speak, speak as an oracle of God. When you speak intentionally, put yourself in the place where I'm speaking right now, but this is God. God himself is speaking to you. And you know, God wants us to declare his word. God wants us to be his voice. He wants to, in and through us, manifest himself. And it says underneath, it's rediscovering the voice of God in everyday life. Rediscovering the voice of God in everyday life. So we're gonna talk about the prophetic today, and I'm gonna fly through some slides. So you might need to provide your own inspiration, because I will experience some perspiration, because we're gonna move really fast. Do you follow me? All right, here we go. The good news is not Jesus, and it's not that you get to go to heaven. Pause and take a drink. The good news is not Jesus. Jesus brought the good news. Jesus is good. Jesus is God. Jesus is wonderful revelation of the goodness of God. He said, if you see me, you see the Father. No one had ever seen God, completely seen the Father, but Jesus had, and Jesus fully reveals him. So Jesus is manifesting good news, but Jesus is good. Jesus is God. But the good news is something else, and getting to heaven isn't the good news. That's not the good news. The good news, the gospel, is that God became a man to establish his kingdom here on earth. Got one grunt. And that is the good news. The good news that God himself has moved in. God designed us originally to be containers of himself. We were created in the image of God because God himself wanted to fill us. All the fullness of God. All the fullness of God dwells in me right here. I was designed to be a carrier, to be someone who God himself can live right here in this earth suit. He has flooded and saturated and filled me. And he's done that because he became a man. He became the Son of Man so that we could become the sons of God. The Son of God became the Son of Man, and he returned to the throne, took his own blood, poured it on the mercy seat once and for all, broke every delusion of mankind, and set us free from what was passed down from Adam and the second Adam, totally restored us to a place where we are reigning and ruling and bringing the kingdom in the earth. So that's why we're here. We're here. We're here not waiting to catch the bus to heaven. We are here to manifest God's kingdom and make everything you see as it is in heaven. That's our purpose. And the prophetic has a strong relationship to that. John 8:47, so whoever is of God listens to God. Are you of God? Any of God people here today? If you're of God, anyone who is of God listens to God. Those who belong to God, they hear the words of God. So you are designed to hear the words of God. Ears to hear, eyes to see, they're from the Lord. You are innately established and created to hear his voice. So that's yours. Glenn's got the best amens. Amen. Hey, amen. Finished with this slide last week. Here's where we finished up. The greatest qualification for the next season may not be talent, knowledge, or influence, but the ability to hear. He said, be careful how you hear. There's two types of people. There's the hearers and the hear-nots. And you got to be a hearer. And listen carefully to the word of God. Listen to his word. The greatest qualification may be the ability to hear. God governs his kingdom through revelation knowledge. Heaven's agenda reaches earth through hearers who speak. Say, hearers who speak. So you have to set yourself up. You have to be prepared. You have to position yourself to hear the voice of God, because God speaks to you so that you can speak the word of God. The reason you're hearing is so that you can speak the purposes of God. So prophecy is one of those ways God speaks to us. It's one of those ways that we speak to people. But prophecy is also the way that we speak to creation. We speak to our circumstance. We speak to this world. Prophecy is something that we are called to as the people of God to bring transformation to the nations. So we are not begging God, please change something. You are the voice of God. You are where God dwells. You are the answer to what's going on. You have the ability to hear from God, speak God's word, and call into manifestation, to call things to submit themselves and align themselves under God's purpose. So prophecy is to speak forth by divine inspiration. Prophecy is simply heaven revealing itself through human vessels. It is God's thoughts becoming audible on the earth. If God wants to become audible on the earth, if he wants his will to be manifest on the earth, he has to get a hold of your tongue. When God wants to change the world, he always finds somebody's mouth. And that's where it always begins. So everywhere you look in the old covenant, everywhere where God wanted to change things, he found someone who he could put his words on their mouth and transform the world. Genesis 1:26, let them have complete authority. Say complete authority. That means absolute complete authority. Who's got it? Man does. God created the earth and he said man will have complete authority over the things of the earth, over all the earth. Man, Matthew 6:9-10, there teach us to pray. And Jesus said, pray like this, our Father, Papa, Abba, Daddy God. I want you to talk like that intimately to God, which was just wrecked their whole minds. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For his will to be done on earth, for his purposes to come forth, we have to engage the revelation of heaven, the present truth of today, the things that God wants to do June 14th, 2026. He's got to find a mouth even today to bring into manifestation his purposes. So we have to know that. Amen. All right. Psalm 115:16, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of man. God gave the earth to man. God created this realm to put us in it, to manifest his goodness, his kindness and grace, to manifest to the whole cosmos, to bring under subjection. To the whole cosmos. His purpose, Psalm 8:6. I love Psalm 8. I mean, what is man that you're mindful of? He says, you made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things, say all things. How many things? All things. If there's things going on in the world that are not God, it's our fault. If we keep on thinking, wow, that's terrible. God, get us out of here. It's getting messy. That's not the next step in the journey to get you out of here. It's for him to get into here, to call into order the things in this earth. We are to bring the dominion of God. You shall have dominion from sea to sea, from the rivers to the ends of the earth. God, you will glorify yourself in all that is done. So in all things, to bring all things under his feet. 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love. Starts talking about prophecy in 1 Corinthians 12. Now, Corinthians is a letter. Somebody wrote letters to Paul and said, the church here is screwed up. And he named names. He talked about people. And there was a real letter sent from a real person who named names of people who were screwing up in church. I mean, they were telling on people. They were telling Papa Apostle Paul that something's got screwed up here at home and we need help down here. So he was addressing some problems. But what I love about it is that he didn't send the letter back, hey, you bunch of screw ups. No, he said, hey, saints, holy ones, perfect ones, complete ones in Corinth. Bless you. And he said, I'm glad that you do not fall behind in any of the gifts. You function in all the gifts. I mean, you are manifesting all the powerful tools of heaven. But he said, man, it's all happening in a weird attitude. And there's division and strife among you. There's all this. And it was a church having a lot of problems. So he wrote this letter and he had to address how they were functioning in the gifts. So there's chapter 12 and chapter 14 talk about the gifts. And right sandwiched in the middle is chapter 13 where he talks about love. Said, if you're going to do anything, the only motivation for you to operate in the power of God and demonstrate him on behalf of others should not be because you want to say, look how special I am. Zap, zap, zap. No, you should be doing it because you love people. Say, do I love people? You better love people. That's the only motivation he wanted. So he said, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. I put gifts in orange there because gifts actually is not in the text. When he talked about spiritual gifts, I don't want you ignorant. Gifts is not there. If you have a King James Bible, it will be in italics. And if you go read the front of it, it says anywhere where there's italics, it's not in the original language. So they added gifts in there. But literally, it is Paul saying, I don't want you ignorant of spiritual things. I don't want you to be ignorant of how the Spirit moves and the way the Spirit does things. He did later talk about gifts, but this was not about gifts. This is about you walking in love and being mature spiritual people. Especially, he says, desire spiritual things, desire deep, deep spiritual things, but especially that you may prophesy. This is the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Do you desire to prophesy? Do you eagerly desire to prophesy? See, do you eagerly desire to be a good person? Is there a lot of instruction in the Bible that says, be a good person? Do you believe that and try to do that? That's in the Bible. Be kind, be nice. I mean, love one another. So we try to do that. Listen, the Apostle Paul, who wrote the Bible says, eagerly desire to prophesy. When's the last time you woke up and said, I want to prophesy today? Today, I want to declare the word of the Lord. Today, I want to unloose the voice of God in my surroundings. Today, I desire with passion to prophesy and my mouth be full of the will of God. Let it speak boldly through my lips and let me bring heaven on earth everywhere I go. Sorry, I got a little loud there. But it says, eagerly, especially desire spiritual gifts. And then like bookends at the end of the chapter, he says, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. See, some churches, they don't want to speak in tongues anymore because that's a little weird, right? Who's that creepy, weird language? We want to stop that. But you know, it says that the creepy, weird language speaking in tongues, it's a sign for the... You guys have got Bibles, you've read them once or twice, right? So speaking in tongues is a sign for the unbelievers. Say unbelievers. Unbelievers. Don't worry about it. If there's an unbeliever in the place, the Bible says tongues is a sign for the unbelievers. Well, we won't want signs for the unbelievers, do we? We might offend them. No, we want to be biblical. Anybody like being biblical? All right, let's go. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, but the one who prophesies strengthens others. The one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages others, and comforts others. Does anybody need some encouragement? Does anybody need some comfort? Does anybody need some strength? It says, when you prophesy, when you say, thus saith the Lord, when you loose that revelation of God's goodness on one another, it says you're going to bring blessing to each other's lives. And the word of God says you should be eager to do this. Be eager to do this. When's the last time you were eager to prophesy? For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. No prophecy. No, say no. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of a man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit wants to put God's word in your mouth. He doesn't want to put it in your head, doesn't want to put it in your foot, doesn't want to put it in your belly. Open your mouth and I will fill it. The Lord wants you to declare the voice of God. Now listen, is there a difference between the old covenant and the new covenant? Let me try that again. Is there a difference between the old covenant and the new covenant? One is old and one is new. One is obsolete and is gone, and one is new and still fully in effect right now. Is there a difference between an Old Testament priesthood and a New Testament priesthood? Yes. All the answers are yes. Just, all right. Is there a difference between the Old Testament king and a New Testament king? Very good. All right. Is there a difference between the Old Testament prophet and a New Testament prophet? Yes, there is. So you got all kinds of Old Testament prophecy, people prophesying back there, all that stuff. But everything shifted in the realm of prophecy with the new covenant. Everything shifted. If you're still using old covenant methods to try to get new covenant results, you're wasting your time. So we got to know that. Exodus 20:19, it says, they said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear. Let not God speak to us. Let not God speak to us lest we die. So God always wanted to speak to everybody. I mean, Moses said, God wants all his people to be prophets. He wants us all to speak God's word. So God always wanted to speak directly to people, but the people asked for a mediator. That was not God's idea. There is a difference. There is a difference. Matthew 11:13 says, for all the prophets of the law and the law prophesied until John. Say until. All the prophets and the law prophesied until John. What does that mean? What does that mean? Something new happened. So John was the end of the Old Testament prophets. John was an Old Testament prophet. John was not a New Testament prophet. Even though you read about John's life in the New Testament, he was an Old Covenant prophet. And that's important to understand. A lot of people preach the stuff of John like it's New Covenant truth, and it's not. He was preaching a completely different old covenant. He was under the law. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Old Testament prophecy pointed forward to a mystery. But John, the Baptist, greatest of all prophets, he said, here's the mystery. Here's the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the whole earth. Matthew 11:11 says, I tell you the truth, of all those who ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. None, not a single prophet, not one was greater than John the Baptist. He was the greatest of all the servants of God in the Old Testament. But listen to this, look at this, underline it. Just let it blow your mind. Yet, even the least person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is. It's not my words, that's Jesus' words. Is anybody here in the kingdom? Is anybody here in the kingdom? What does that tell us about John? John was not in the new covenant. John was not living in the kingdom. Jesus announced there's a kingdom. I have come to announce there's a kingdom that is now going to be enforced. God's kingdom has come to the earth, and I, as the King of Kings, have come to enforce it and release it. But you see, you are greater and have greater power, authority, and ministry and potential than John the Baptist did. And then John the Baptist was greater than Isaiah, greater than David, greater than Moses, greater than Isaiah, greater than all those prophets. John the Baptist was Jesus' words. And yet you, the least of you, who is the least? Let's just figure it out. I mean, you, even if you thought I'm the least, you have greater authority and power. You can function in greater power and majesty than John the Baptist did. That's pretty powerful stuff. So New Testament prophets, were there prophets then in the New Testament? Yes. Acts 13:15-32 says, now Judas and Silas themselves being prophets. What were Judas and Silas? Prophets. What did Paul do? He was an apostle, and he often traveled with Judas, and he traveled with Silas, and he traveled with these guys because apostles and prophets traveled together as teams to set foundations for the church to grow and to minister the church and to encourage the church. They are foundational ministries for the body of Christ. Being prophets, they exhorted and they strengthened the brethren with many words. Many words. They brought many words to the church. Amen. So they were prophets. When they came to churches, they were declaring the word of God, declaring the voice of God. They were prophesying over the body of Christ, and they would bring many words. Acts 11:28. Now one of them named Agabus, one of the prophets. Agabus was a prophet. And this prophet, he stood up and he showed by the Spirit. He got a revelation by the Spirit. He was listening to the voice of God, and God told him there's going to be a great famine in years to come in Jerusalem, and you need to prepare for that famine. You need to take up offerings for the church there. You need to minister to the church there. And he was a prophet who understood the time, spoke things, brought direction and revelation right from the throne of God about the affairs of the earth and what was going on. So yes, there were New Testament prophets, but they were uniquely different than Old Testament prophets. Old Testament prophets were God's voice to the people, but New Testament, every single believer has the innate ability to hear God's voice, has the ability to prophecy, acts as a witness of the new covenant. If you're operating in the wrong model, often expresses unhealthy sense of importance. Now, we get a little bit weird in the New Covenant. We think prophets are all that, and we get lost on some of the prophetic ministry, and we give them a whole different status, but they really don't. Apostles and prophets, office prophets, they are foundational. Do you know what you do with foundations? You cover them with dirt. And apostles and prophets, the most distinct attribute that they should have is humility. And that should be a hallmark of everybody who functions in that setting. Old Testament prophets were lone rangers. But in the New Testament, prophets are in a servant ministry team. They don't operate alone, but they function together, and they're in relationship, and they're submitted and under authority to each other. Sadly, we got some New Testament prophets that they got their own prophecy, they got their own web page, they got their own ministry. They don't belong to a church. They don't function or flow with anybody. They set up their own thing, and they're ministering the body of Christ like lone rangers, and it's a little bit out of order, and it actually can bring some confusion. And sadly, we've had a lot of prophetic ministry that wasn't properly covered, wasn't properly in relationship, and because of that, we've had a mess in the prophetic world in the last few months, if you were at all paying attention with that. But you know what? It doesn't need to happen if we do things properly. I'm flying. Did you know that? I'm flying. So New Testament prophets serve on teams. We need each other for clarity. Operating in the wrong model causes isolation, pride, and hey, you know, call me. I got a hotline to God. I'll give you a word. 1-800-PROPHET. You can actually find that. Deuteronomy 18:20. In the Old Testament, it said, "The prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded to him, who did not speak in the name of who spoke in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die." Amen. So in the good old days, if you were a false prophet, they stoned you and you died. Amen. How many prophets would be alive today? You know, so that was it. They're pretty serious about it. If you presume to speak on God's behalf and you were not a prophet back then, you would die. Old Testament, the prophecy had to be exact. Had to be exact, or there were stunning consequences. In the New Testament, we submit the words for others to judge. So you bring a word, we prophesy in part, we know in part, you might have a part. But you know, I tell the prophets, prophesy and be really bold when you prophesy. Declare things like you're an oracle of God, but don't defend it. You don't have to defend your word. I'm not sure that was the word of God, brother. It was so. I always speak the word of God. I'm not going to listen to you anymore. Because the minute you start to defend your word, you're not biblical anymore. Because it says, you prophesy, let the others judge. Let the others judge. You bring it strong. But the minute you want to defend yourself and your self-preserving gift, bam, we're going to put you in the penalty box. Are you guys okay? All right. Say, hurry up, pastor. All right. So 1 Corinthians 14:29, let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. All prophecy has to be judged. All prophecy has to be tested. Can you say all? Say all. All. That means all. That even means the one you got in the parking lot from not this parking lot, not this church, but somewhere else. You know, people walk around throwing out, I got a word for you. Well, bring it in and let the others judge. Bring it in and let's deal with it. And a lot of people have got frustrated by the prophetic, hurt by the prophetic, because it's been out of order. There is a real order. It's in the Bible. How many think we should follow it? And you know why we want to follow it? Because we're serious about the prophetic, because the word of God says, be eager to prophesy. We want to encourage that gift. We never want to despise it. We want to have it fully functioning, but we want to have it in a safe environment where nobody's going to get hurt and nobody's going to get disillusioned or disappointed. Can I get an amen? All right. So we want to do that. Operating in the wrong models breeds deception and disappointment. Old Testament prophets operated in a period of law and judgment. New Testament prophecy is consistent with the revelation of Jesus, the nature of the Father, and its goal is rooted in redemption. So Old Testament prophecy was judgmental. And when you get, if you get a New Testament prophet that starts speaking judgment or starts cursing something, I curse this movement. And if right away, just please say, rubbish. Because that's not what you were called to do. We're not called to do that in the prophetic. We're not called. New Testament prophecy is consistent with the revelation of Jesus. I mean, if you walk away from somebody who says, thus saith the Lord, and you feel bad, you feel condemned, you feel nasty, it's very easy to test that spirit, because God is good. God is good. Every good thing comes from him. And you know, there is discipline, but discipline and correction is not judgment. Very different things. New Testament prophecy consistent with the nature of the Father. The goal is rooted in redemption. Operating in the wrong model brings condemnation and judgment. Matthew 16:15-19. All right. I tell you what. Let's read this and we'll say a few things and then I might save the rest for later. Just because what's the point of sharing it all with you if your rear ends can't handle it? Saith the Lord. Matthew 16:15-19. He pressed them. Jesus pressed them. He said, who do people say to them? They said, well, maybe Isaiah. Some think you're a reincarnation of John the Baptist. You know, wow. What do you guys say? He pressed them. He said, how about you? What do you say? And Simon Peter said, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus came back and said, wow, God bless you. You were born of a human. You were born of someone in human form. You were the son of Jonah. That's your lineage. He said, yet you did not get that answer from books or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on the secret of who I really am, and I'm going to tell you who you really are. He says, you were born of a man. You were born of human lineage, but you're being recapitulated, and you have a new father, and you now are coming off the rock. You are, it says, you are Petros, which means you are a little rock, but you have been cut from the big rock, and you are a child of God. You are a child of God. And he said, wow, that revelation, you just hooked up with your father, and you started having the God kind of thoughts. Completely blew his mind. And on which I put together this revelation, you are really Peter. This revelation, on this revelation, I've built my church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. And that's not all. Say, that's not all. And that's not all. It slices, it dices. And that's not all. You will have complete and free access to God's kingdom. New King James Bible says you will have the keys. We got a whole box inside the office, and it's full of keys. But with every one of those keys, there's a tag on it that says what door it opens. And if it didn't have those tags, we'd be taking keys, running all over the place, trying to find out, how do I get in the media room? But thank God, they all got labels on them, so you know what the key is for. And you know what? Whatever's going on in the world that God wants to change, he's given you the key to turn on that and bring about change. You have been given the keys to the kingdom. You have been given. You've been given access to God's kingdom. You've been given keys to open any and every door. No more barriers between heaven and earth, earth and heaven. Yes on earth is a yes in heaven. Blessing was saying, say yes. Say yes. The word was spoken to you. Say yes. Say yes. When you say yes, you are turning. That word that's spoken, you were hearing from heaven. You're hearing that something's been released out of heaven. How do I release it on earth? I turn the key. I say yes. I say yes. I have the keys to loose those things in the manifestation. Every door, no more barriers between heaven and earth, on earth as it is in heaven. And a yes on earth is a yes in heaven. And a no on earth is a no in heaven. So we have the keys, and those keys have to do with our mouth. Those keys have to do with our ability to understand what has been given to us and to turn the key and to speak it and to loose God's purposes in every sphere and every place in life. So aligning yourself with the revelation of Jesus as King puts you in a perfect place of privilege, trust, and authority. It provides you keys to ignite, to lock, to loose, resulting in the manifestation of his kingdom. Say, I got the keys. Say, I got the keys. I mean, who can unlock this situation? Who can turn this thing around? Who can cause the darkness to be pushed away? Who can loose and open the door to heaven's realities on earth? Who can change what we're going through? You can. You've been given the keys. You've been given that revelation to turn the key in these circumstances and bring about the blessing of God. So first thing, you got authority. Keys are for authority. There's some people here have keys. Only a few people like Desmond. If you want to open some of the locked doors, Desmond has a key. He's got authority to open the mop door, to open the other back door, the side door. He's got a master key that he can walk up to so many doors, and he's got a master key, and he can open that. Why? Because he's on our deacon's servant ministry team, and he's been given a key. He's been given authority to open places that not everybody can get into. You have the keys. You've been given master keys. You can go into situations and you can see something that isn't right, and you can get a revelation from God where you can turn the key of revelation and you can bring heaven on earth in every situation, because that's what you're called to do. Please stop. Settle down. I'm trying to finish. Not waiting outside for the blessing to be opened. We have the keys, and keys are only useful if you know what they correspond to. So God's going to give us revelation, and we can open doors. We can set things free. Number two, you get access. Keys of the kingdom are for access. You can enjoy all the benefits of the Father's house. Amen. There are some people, you know, Matt came to our house, and Matt is one of those guys that he walks into your house and he walks all through the house. He doesn't check just a few things out. He checks everything. Matt will go right to the fridge. But I love that about people. I love that about people. When you invite them in, when I open the main door, I've opened every other door. And Matt just walks in and says, if you open that door, I've got access. And I love that. You know, when God gives you access, you have access to every single wonderful blessing. You are not a beggar outside of the provision of God. You've been given access to every single good thing. So it says, Romans 8, I love this verse. Love this verse. You should circle it, line it, tattoo it on your forehead. It says, he who did not spare his own son. Did he spare his own son? Did the Father give Jesus on your behalf? Did Jesus come? Is Jesus a gift that came to bring the kingdom? Did he give you Jesus? He said, if he gave Jesus and he delivered him up for us all, how shall he not along with him freely give us? Did he give Jesus? What about all things? Did he give Jesus? What about all things? Did he give Jesus? What about this thing? What about that thing? What about that thing? What about this thing? You know what? If he gave you Jesus, he said, trust me, it's a buffet. It's all inclusive. Everything comes with it. There's not a single thing that he'll withhold from you. He who gave his own son for you, how much more along with him will he not give us freely? Give us, say freely. Man, and I love that word, don't you? Because it doesn't say he'll give all things to those who behave themselves and do good and stay on the straight and narrow. But he says, I'm going to freely give you all things. Can you say this is the last slide? It's really not. I got so many more, but you guys are done, aren't you? No? This is it. Number three. You got authority. If you got keys, you got authority. If you got keys, you got access. Number three, if you got keys, you got ownership. You got ownership. You're a steward of these wonderful things. It's mine. I never beg for what I already own. I never beg for what I already possess. I don't have to say, do I have permission to drive my own car? Do I have permission to sleep in my own home? I tell you, you've been given keys and you have been given responsibility. Listen, Luke 12, one of my favorite verses. I love it. He says, Luke 12:32, do not fret, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. To do what? To give to you the kingdom. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. I've given you the kingdom. He is the King of Kings. We are kings, we are priests, and we are prophets of Almighty God. Every one of you are kings, every one of you are priests, and every one of you are prophets. And he's given us keys. He's given us spiritual empowered words. He's given us revelation from the heavenly realm to turn keys in every circumstance on earth so that every single day of your life, when you walk into situations, you can prophesy to that circumstance and command it to change in the name of Jesus. Well, I wish Wayne Zimmer was with me. He seems to have words all the time. You don't need Wayne. You don't even need Jesus. You are advantaged because you got the Holy Spirit in you, and he will lead you into all truth, and he will give you words to speak. Even if you didn't show up with a word to speak, he will fill your mouth, and you will spiritually discern things, and you will speak freedom and liberty to people in every circumstance. But number one, you got to expect to be used. You got to expect that God wants to do things through you. How awful is it to go through all of our lives, go through days, and not expect to ever encounter things that God's kingdom wants to be manifest? We've got to intentionally live with the realization that there's a claim on your life to bring heaven to earth every day, everywhere, in every circumstance, every place your foot treads, the kingdom comes in Jesus' name.